We're in our third week of our November series called Share, and it's been great. Sue opened it. Catherine gave a great sharing thankfully message last week. I'm going to talk about sharing extravagantly or generously today. Before we get to that part of the message, I want to share some India mission trip stories. And so if we could dim the lights a little bit, because this first picture is dark, the rest of them are better. So I'm going to do this in just a few minutes, because my goal is that you will want to know more and you'll just have to go. All right. So here's our wonderful team. Mark, Dr. Mark's on the left. Lori Kay and her daughter Jolie is on the right. Jolie was a EMU student just a couple years ago, and she's up in Northern Virginia in ministry. And then a pastor evangelist couple of one of the village churches we visited. So here are Lori Kay and Dr. Mark as they're receiving a gift, a wreath, a very colorful, nice smelling wreath. That was one of the traditions. Everywhere we went, we were blessed with that. And here is Jolie and myself. I'm looking a little wet in the middle lower half because I just did baptisms. And that's a wreath with a pastor evangelist. Here's one of the churches that Lori Kay and Mark ministered at. Wonderful thatch roof. Here is another church. They have concrete walls and they are packed in there. Isn't that the way it was, Mike? Yes. And then you leave your shoes at the door. Can you imagine what it would be like to do that here at Grace? I did this in Nepal a few years ago, and when I came out to go to the bathroom, my shoes were gone. Somebody upgraded. And that's awesome. So here's travel. We spent a lot of hours in vehicles going to remote villages north of the community where we were staying overnighting. So you don't know which way people are going, and that doesn't matter because no one does. And here's another view out of the car. Here's a tuk-tuk, and here's what you run into. We might have traffic entanglements in Harrisonburg, but not because of this. And that is a regular thing, to slow down as the shepherd brings the herd through. And then here's Mark praying over two of the pastor evangelists. Here's my favorite evangelist of the week, Ozzy. He and I did a baptism together. This is Lori Kay. A big part of our time was loving the children that were at the orphanage that we stayed at. Here is a picture of our final morning. There's over 100 pastors who have come from two districts to be together and be equipped and trained. And some of the most beautiful. There's their vision. That is a map of their state, Andhra Pradesh. All of the different districts. They are planting churches in four districts, and they are now reaching a second unreached people group, and it's amazing. So, you want to go. Lights up. Yeah, it's... Thank you for sending us. Thank you for your prayers. Went with those... It was a team of four. It was just one of the finest mission trips I've been on, and may there be many more like it, I pray. Okay, share. Share extravagantly. Share generously. Sue started on the first Sunday, November 5th, and she talked about don't forget to share. And so, you know, that kind of is the mantra as you're raising children. For anyone who has raised children, teaching them to share is just one of the things you must do. And she gave us three things that sometimes are barriers or that cause us to forget to share. One is this fear, this scarcity mentality, that we worry we won't have enough if we share. Another thing that causes us to forget is sometimes the Lord will ask us to share with people we don't particularly prefer or are pleased with. And so we kind of delay it and defer it and hope maybe God will forget. He forgets our sins and he doesn't say anything else he will forget. And then the third thing is that we're waiting for perfect conditions to develop. When our four children finish college and we have paid the last bill to UVA, then we'll be generous. That's fill in the blank. Whatever your life circumstance is, we can keep waiting for things to improve, and then we're going to be generous. Catherine gave, by the way, that was an amazing sermon, and you should listen to it again if you have. And so thanks, Sue. Then Catherine followed it up with a sharing thankfully message, and she particularly highlighted that we're thankful because of the source. Our source of thankfulness is God, our good Father, our faithful Father. And then the potential of thankfulness. And she talked about the story of the 10 lepers and the one who returned and was not only healed, but was made whole, made free. And that message is, I think, Catherine's finest message I've ever heard. So you should listen to that one again. All right, so today we're going to talk about extravagantly sharing. Extravagantly, it's a marvelous word. God loves us with a love that is extravagant, lavish, wasteful, excessive, exorbitant, outrageous, reckless, crazy, extreme, prodigal, unbalanced, ridiculous, unrestrained, ludicrous. Keep coming with us. He loves us. And the really good news is that because that's who he is love, and he's extravagant. Because that's who he is, he's making us as his kids to grow up and look like him and behave like him. So we're going to talk about what that is going to look like. The problem that we face, even though we know our Father and we keep knowing our Heavenly Father better and we know his character and nature and his extravagance, even though we know those things, we face a problem is that we honestly don't feel like we're the ones who are capable of being that same way. Some of us feel like being extravagant in sharing our time, our resources, our lives, our stuff, is an unattainable, out there goal. It's pretty much the domain, and it's reserved for the really wealthy people. Some of us feel that way. Catherine expressed it in her message last week. We had just taken up an offering for New Creation, a ministry that got birthed here by one of our wonderful couples, and We all heard the report that Sabrina gave so beautifully, and Gordon took up an offering, and when Catherine got up, she said, don't you want to give $1,000 billion to New Creation? That's what stirs in your heart. And we have this desire to do something really over the top and crazy, but we don't feel like we have the capacity to do it. And so we think, well, maybe someday I'll be able to do something really crazy generous. So when we're honest with ourselves, we feel that sharing extravagantly is for rich people like God or Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. Or maybe some of you remember the Extreme Makeover Home Edition show. Or maybe you've seen Oprah give away all kinds of crazy, lavish gifts on her show. So when we see and hear and observe wealthy people being extravagant and generous, maybe sharing college scholarships or a new home or a brand new family van, whatever, it sometimes inspires us and we're moved by that. And sometimes it makes us feel left out, like, man, I'll never be able to do something like that. I want to give the really good news today, and we're going to get there in the very first story we look at together, that extravagantly sharing is something everyone can participate in. Nobody's left out. Extravagantly sharing is open for everyone. So we're going to look at a number of stories. And we're going to start with the story in 1 Kings chapter 17. I'll read this for you. I'll read from the New Living Translation. This is a story of a poor widow and the prophet Elijah. So it's 1 Kings chapter 17. You can go in your smartphone, in your tablet, whatever, in your real papyrus Bible. So here we go, verse 8. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village at Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath, and as he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Here's, underline that one. Don't be afraid, church. Go ahead and do just what you said, but make a little bread for me first. It's almost like Elijah's clueless. Does he not understand how desperate her situation is? Make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will be always flour and olive oil left in your containers. How about that? Always flour and oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this story. Thank you for every word in the Bible that you've given us. It's your encouragement to trust you and to follow you. So thank you for this story. Thank you for your word. Teach us and change us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have this amazing story. Elijah, the man of God, has declared that there's no rain. And sure enough, there's no rain for many years. And so then God sends him to this poor widow. And the poor widow has so little that she's about to have her last meal, and she and her son are then going to starve to death. And the prophet comes and says, hey, first feed me, then have your last meal. And he declares to her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So here's the principle that we're going to see in other places as we continue on. When we give a portion first to the Lord, he's free to release blessing and provision. If we'll give to the Lord first, he's free to release a blessing and his provision. It's incredible. All through Scripture, God invites the people of God to trust him and to give him the first of what they have. It's all over through the Old Testament. And here, even someone with very, very little, he says, give to me, the man of God, first, and then God's provision and blessing will be released on you. And the focus here is not on what she doesn't have. Do you realize she doesn't have a lot? He doesn't say, go scrounge up something, or he doesn't say, wait until things improve, wait till it rains, go bring in the crops, and then give me first. He just says, what do you have? Share it. God is encouraging all of us, share what you have, church. Share what you have. She only had a little flour and a little oil. God invited her to offer it to the prophet. And then he says, you will always have more in your containers. Always. It's amazing. It's who he is. Give what you have. God doesn't ask you to give what you don't have, ever. Give what you have. Don't lament that you don't have more. Give what you have. Don't wait until it's convenient or you finally have some surplus. Give what you have. Share what you have. It doesn't matter if you're pleased with the situation God's asking you to share with. Share what you have. It might only be a little flour and oil. It might only be a few hours to cut out a couple hundred snowflakes for our decoration. Give what you have. Give a few hours. It might only be a scarf that you got when you were in Bethlehem. So here's where we're going. Here's all of the stories and the texts. We'll go back to that. Here's one of my favorite pictures. There's Jolie, and she is putting a scarf on this. How about the colorful clothes there, you know? Wow. So there's this sweet little girl, and while we were doing the worship time, she was like an angel. She worshiped, and Jesus was all over her. And the Lord nudged Jolie to give her the scarf. The scarf that she's putting on is the scarf that Jolie bought while she was in Bethlehem a few years ago. It's Jolie's favorite. It was her favorite scarf. Now it's this little girl's favorite scarf. Because in the middle of worship, the Lord just said, share what you have. Way to go, Jolie. So here's the story. Poor widow feeding Elijah. Give what you have. It might not be much, but share it. Don't be afraid. Share what you have and quit focusing on what you don't have, church. No more lamenting that only the wealthy can be generous and extravagant. It's a lie. It's not true. The enemy wants to keep us from walking in faith, obedience, and blessing. Don't buy the lie. When the widow shared the little she had, she released abundant provision for her future. God takes what we share and he multiplies it with unending provision. You might recall Catherine also referenced last week, all six times that the story of feeding thousands happened with a little bit of loaves and bread, Jesus took the loaves and bread, he took what was shared, he took what was offered, he blessed it, and he multiplied it, and it fed thousands, and there was leftover. That's the kingdom of God economy. The kingdom of this world economy is you give it, and it goes somewhere else, and now your ledger sheet has a subtraction to register. In the kingdom, you give what you have, you share what you have, God takes it, receives it, he blesses the obedience, and he multiplies it, and there's leftover. It's incredible. All right, let's look at another amazing story. Mark 12, verses 41 through 44. So here we have a few people at the temple. Jesus sat down near the collection box. By the way, some of you don't know, that box that Pepe's standing in front of back there, you can put money in there anytime and we take it out. It's an amazing, beautiful thing. We have an offering box. We're not quite Temple Jerusalem kind of offering box, but it's there. And you can put your information cards in. You can share anything you want to with us in that offering box that'll fit. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. That's not very user-friendly. Jesus is watching people give. We're a little discreet about it. We have that little bag. We put it in there. Or you can do it electronically and nobody sees whether you're doing that or posting on social media. So Jesus is watching as the crowds dropped in their money. Many, many rich people put in large amounts. And then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth. That means it's true, by the way. This poor widow has given more than all the others. Jesus isn't confused by zeros, by the way. He knows what she gave. He knows what all of those rich people gave. And he says, she's given more. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything. So there you have it. The only poor person in the line is the one who is extravagant. Every rich person was not. So there's, we just blew the lie up. You don't have to be wealthy to be extravagant and to be generous. Okay? He commends her. He honors her. We're reading about her today, 2,000 years later, because she gave everything. Jesus wasn't impressed by big sums from the rich who were putting it in the offering. Their hearts weren't devoted like her heart. She was totally committed. She gave all. She is our definition of extravagant here, not the other rich people. Her tiny offering drew the Lord's attention, approval, and praise. We are never excluded from sharing extravagantly, no matter how meager and dire our situation is. We can display and exhibit the character and nature of God no matter how little we have. That's good news. Okay. We don't know the rest of this story for this widow. We're left right there. But as we continue looking at God's word and as we remember the story of the previous widow, we know how God responds to people who trust him completely. So let's look at another story. This is Paul giving some instruction to his disciple, or his mentee, Timothy. And this is 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, three verses here. It says, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable." That's the New Living. The NIV gets even more in your face and says, command the rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which is unreliable. Trust in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Verse 18, tell them, command them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will store up treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Paul is just real clear here. Command those who are rich to be generous and to help people who are in need. Now, the scarcity mentality thing that we talked about earlier, and Sue covered it so well in her message, this fear that I won't have enough. Right now, as I read those verses, if you're trying to figure out how it's true that I'm not rich, so I don't have to pay attention to what this says, you're dealing with a scarcity mentality. If when I talk about people being rich, you're trying to figure out how that doesn't talk to me or apply to me, then you're, I think, dealing with a scarcity mentality. As I read that, if you're thinking, I hope I'm rich because then I get to jump in on this game, then you've got a better perspective of God and his goodness and his resources. So let me just tell you something. And this is true. You're rich. Like, really rich. I love researching things. So I was with people for 2 weeks. And they're not rich. By the way, the world measures it. So I did some research. You know that the country that we were in, Dr. Mark, has 1.3 billion people. It felt like it a few days. There's a lot of people. 96% of their population lives on less than $10 a day. 96% of 1.3 billion. That's $3,000 or less for the year. 20% of them live on $2 or less a day. That's not very much. But it didn't stop them from having the most joy of any group of people I've ever worshiped with. Well, Battelle people probably pushed the envelope. They're right up there. See, by the world standards, every one of us in this room is rich. If you live, well, okay, a few college students, a few high school students are saying, time out. I might give you a little grace there. $2 a day or less, 20% of their population, $2 a day or less. That's reality. In one of the worship services, I was sitting up front with Rufus, and there was these little plastic bags on the floor, and I thought they had brought some lunch because they have some long services. And at one point, Rufus was like, preach longer. But, you know, if you haven't preached an hour, they don't think you got anything in the tank. And I said, well, I want them to want us to come back. So I don't want to overdo it. But they had these little bags up there, and so then he opened one up and showed me it was rice. He said, this is what they had to give. And they did, joyfully. Another one was a little bag of sugar. That was their offering. Give what you have. Don't focus on what you don't have. You're rich. God's word here, he's telling Timothy, tell those people, command them, you're rich. Be generous to your need, to those in need. Let your money do good for those in need. And here's the most amazing 401k plan in the universe. In verse 19 it says, and when you do, you're storing up treasure for eternity in heaven. How about that? Those people gave what they have and they got treasure that they're storing up in heaven. Now, that does not work on anybody's webpage that's trying to monitor and track money. It's the kingdom economy. It's beautiful. It says here, also, in my notes from my massive Google research, that if the 100 wealthiest people in the world would give their annual income for 1 year, we would take care of poverty in the whole world. The 100 most wealthy of people would give their annual income. It would take care of poverty in the whole 7 billion people. It would take care of it. When I read that, I felt the enemy lying again. It's like, well, they should just take care of things, right? You know what? If those people got a revelation of God's goodness and his love and his truth and they did it, it would be an amazing thing. But they don't have that revelation probably, but you know who does? Us. And I don't want everyone else to be blessed and me not get the chance. Why should 100 people get all of the blessing of providing for the ones that are close and dear to God's heart? We get to, because we have the revelation of God's love and his truth. It would be sad if they did all the work and got all the blessing. That's how I feel about it. All right. Next story. And here's some really good news. If I don't finish today, I get to finish next week because I'm preaching next week. So we're just gonna keep on this until we finish. This is probably 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Well, chapter 8 is amazing, and chapter 9 equally so. We're gonna jump in on chapter 9 and just read it. Luke, why don't you come up, and we're going to leave some time to respond. Let me just read chapter 9. It'll whet our appetite. It'll be the setup for next week's conclusion. Chapter 9, verse 1. I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. Our enthusiasm to share is contagious. That's right here at the beginning. I'll jump into verse 5. So I thought I would send the brothers ahead and make sure the gift you promised is ready. I want it to be willingly given, not one given grudgingly. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a cheerful person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Verse 8 is a keeper. You just ought to have that on your refrigerator or on your mirror or there, everywhere. Highlight it, underline it. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. All right, we're gonna hit the pause button here. I just want to drive home again. You can be extravagant with what you have. You don't wait until you have some level of wealth, whatever it is in your head or heart, before you begin to walk in the truth of God's word. Share what you have, church. So we're a few days into the trip. I'll close with this story. We're a few days into our trip, and I'm kind of used to the routine now where they're going to put a wreath on you. And the one church, they put a wreath on you that was leaves. They give you a wreath according to what they have. And Rufus and I got up real early one morning and went to a church, and the team, the other three in the team, went in a different direction. And we get to this place, and we're starting church, and I see a guy with a wreath, and then I look over and see another one with a wreath, and I'm like, oh great, they're going to give Rufus one this time, and then I see somebody else with a wreath, and so then my head's a little confused, and I'm like, well, maybe they brought them for the baptism people. That would be great. I knew we were doing baptism, and there was 7 or 8 people who were going to be baptized, so I'm thinking, that's a really cool twist on their tradition. And so we continue in worship, and then when we finish the service, they come and they give me my wreath like I've been accustomed to receiving. It doesn't take you long to get into whatever the liturgy is of a group of people. And so so here's what happens. By the way, take a picture of that. We'll use it again next week. There's the truth of the kingdom of God, where you share and experience abundance and extravagance and freedom and faith and provision and contentment and peace, as opposed to what the kingdom of this world offers. All right, so we're closing up the service, and this guy comes. It's a little dark, maybe you can dim it, and he's a wonderful brother. He gives me a wreath, and he puts it on, and he smiles, and Rufus is over there taking a picture. Rufus will interrupt any service at any point to take a really good picture. And so we take that picture, and then another person comes up with a wreath, and I'm waiting for them to put it on Rufus, and they put it on me. And then the next person does. And the next one. 7 people later, this is me. I had a backpack, weight-wise, of flowers. I thought, traveled thousands of miles, 36 hours, to a nation where 96% of the people live on $10 a day or less, so I could learn. I could learn what extravagant looks like from people who have very little. Give according to what you have, church. Share what you have. That guy had the most contagious grin and gave one of the best hugs, and I couldn't even hug him. I have so much. I'm like the Kentucky Derby horse who just won right there. Try and wear 7 wreaths of flowers. It's the most wonderful and humbling thing. So give what you have. Be extravagant. All right, so we're gonna land this ship. I want you, when God touches our hearts, it's a really good time to respond. The Lord had been nudging me. I'm using a really nice Bible right here. How many people in the world have 5 Bibles? How weird is that? So it was along the way, I felt the Lord was nudging in me to give my electronic Bible away while I was there. So I did. So now I'm back to old school Bible because I have multiples. I had so much joy giving my iPad in response to what the Lord nudged me to do while I was over there. Give what you have. Share what you have, church. So, in the seat back in front of you, there's these blue cards that give you all kinds of practical ways to share in some way. I exhort you, I commend you, do not wait until some other time to respond to what God's stirring in your heart. Do it today. Do it today. Share extravagantly today. Start walking in obedience and in blessing and in extravagance. Put yourself in the place where God can release and bless. So here's some really practical ways to share. Take the card with you. Put it in your car, but don't read it while you're driving, please. They do that in India. Anything goes when you drive in India. Be careful. Take it home. Review it. Respond to however the Lord prompts you. We have a few of these books that were given out at the beginning of the year. These booklets are all the international missionaries that we support. They're all the local ministries that we partner with. There are over 20 opportunities to give right here in this booklet. We have some of them on the back. We have them at the information desk. We have them in our information rack. This right here. You can take this home with you. You can ask the Lord, who do you want me to bless? And before the day's over, you can use electronic website, app, Grace Covenant app. You can make a designated gift to any of these people today. If the Lord's nudging you, do something to respond. So I'm going to just ask you to close your eyes and listen to the Lord for a moment. Okay, I invite you to please stand. I just want to pray with you a prayer that King David prayed over the people and over the offering when they were receiving a big collection for the temple at that time. And so I've paraphrased it a little for our use today. And so I pray this as a blessing over you. When I say amen, you're dismissed to go and be extravagant in your sharing. And if you want prayer for anything, our ministry team, while I'm praying this prayer, our ministry team will come forward and they'll be available. So you'll be dismissed to go and you're invited to come for prayer for anything that you'd like prayer for in your life. Just bow your heads and let's pray together. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, Lord. This church is yours, Lord. Our lives are yours, Lord. The stuff we hold in our hands, in our homes. It's all your stuff, Lord. We acknowledge everything in the earth and everything in our life is yours. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand. Oh, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name, but who are we? Who is Grace Covenant Church that we could give you anything? Everything we have has come from you, and we only give you what you first gave us. We ask you to forgive us for doubting your goodness. Forgive us for fearing that we wouldn't have enough. We ask you for faith to share extravagantly. We ask you for courage to share what we have, even all that we have. We ask you for the privilege to share generously whenever and wherever you prompt us to do so. And let our extravagant sharing release the kingdom resources to those in need, and let your great name receive all the attention, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. I bless you, church. Go be extravagant everywhere you go this week as you share Thanksgiving. Come forward for prayer if you need it for anything. God bless you. Love you, church.